Good afternoon. Welcome to Coffee and Conversation, a podcast brought to you by the Del Norte County Office of Education and Del Norte County Unified School District. I'm Jeff Harris, Superintendent of Schools for Del Norte, and it's been a while since our last full podcast, but we're going to kind of kick off this spring run with a topic that I think a lot of people are really interested in hearing about and getting to know a little bit more about progress on. And so joining me today are three gentlemen that are heavily involved in the project. Nick Rail. Nick, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Josh McCubbin.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
And Dan Sedgwick.
Hey, everyone.
And so you three gentlemen respectively represent the Partnership for the Performing Arts, the school district's construction side, and then the instructional, the music instruction. Of course, Dan's been at Del Norte High as a music teacher for quite a while now. So let's talk a little bit about the Performing Arts Center. So folks probably remember that back in, what was it, Nick? We were talking yesterday, I think it was fall of 22?
August of 2022 is when the school board signed the MOU.
Signed the MOU.
With and Partnership of the Performing Arts.
And then we got the nod with assistance from Senator McGuire. The state allocated $2.5 million later that fall.
Yes, in November of 2022, correct.
And we have, since that point, and I say we, Nick, Josh, and Dan have been to many, many, many more of these meetings than I have. But you've been doing a lot of work with other community members, with other school district employees, with our architect and their team, to really dig into, I think, designing this facility. So why don't we just kind of dive into that? Where are we at this point?
We are at a very exciting point in the design process. We've been meeting almost every other week since this past May for 90 minutes to 2 hours, and are just about ready to wrap up the design process in terms of what the center will look like inside and out. And we had conceptual art early on, which was kind of vanilla generic. What we have now fits very well in the Pacific Northwest, a deep bow to the tribes in the look. We've got Talo influence coming into the center, and I think everybody is just really excited to see this happen.
Yeah, so I think if you go back and you look at those initial kind of drawings that we did, PBK, I'll say, donated those first drawings to get people excited. But the next iteration is going to be vastly different. So, Dan, what do you think? Because I know that, you know, a lot of what you've been, I'm not going to say mostly interested in, but most of what would impact your program is on the inside. But we think about the outside.
I think everything on the outside is gorgeous. The only thing I'm concerned about regarding that is my marching band practice field disappears, but we'll figure that out much later down the road. No, the outside's gorgeous. I want to be around the building. I want to be there.
It's kind of a neat place.
Yeah, it'll be a gem in that parking lot. Just this last Monday, we had the kind of the outside tour where we had a couple different options on color schemes, brick patterns, and we were able to finalize what that's going to look like. And it was very complementary to what the high school already looks like as well. It's not going to stick out. It's going to fit in very well over there.
And the parking lot looks great. And there's parking spaces for football games. There's parking spaces.
Actual and lines.
More parking spaces. Actual stripe to parking spaces. Yeah. No more triple parking at the football field.
That's right. Well, but I think the cool thing about it too, and one of you, Josh or Dan, you just said it matches the high school. I think it matches the high school, but without, we'll call it the bunker aesthetic, right? It is going to be that kind of bigger, have a little bit of that mid-century kind of feel that the high school has because of when it was built. But I think overall, Nick, you had said it really has input design from the tribe, from just thinking about natural resources that we have around here, river rock and trees and shade patterns walking through the redwoods and those kind of things. It's going to be a pretty building while still, like you said, kind of integrating with what we currently have.
The event starts when you drive into the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then it continues as you enter the building, go through the lobby, and then the grand ta-da is when you actually enter the facility for a performance.
So, so let's talk about that performance area a little bit. So seat-wise, so I know our community's been through multiple iterations, and Dan, you've been around since the spaceship design all the way through where we are now. There has been talk about a 500 seat, a 750 seat, a 2,000 seat. Where are we at this point?
We are dialed into plus minus 800 seats, and that's over twice the size of Crescent Elk. The other factor that is so exciting is the stage itself. The stage at Crescent Elk is very undersized, even for a middle school. It's very shallow and it's not wide. And
the people were smaller in 1929.
Well, they weren't quite as easy to see back then. That's true. But the stage at the Performing Arts Center will be close to seven times the size of the stage at Crescent Elk.
Oh, wow.
And not just excited for music, but you can imagine the dance performances with the space that they have on that stage. And then the atrium used for art. And I can get my entire concert band on the stage. It'll be amazing.
Oh, it will be. And because we've never been able to do that, right? It's the gym or it's the fairground.
Yeah. The Delner High School Band has performed, I think, twice at Crescent Elk over the years. I've been here for almost 16, and it's hard to justify it because the kids are squished, and that's when the band is not at 70. It's when the band is like 50.
Right.
It wouldn't be possible this year.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's the other piece, right? Is, and we'll talk a little bit more about the interior, but the music program is not just growing. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, and we've talked about it before. It's exploding, right? How many, so Dan, we were just talking the other day about like Crescent Elk. What's a typical band size at Crescent Elk?
After everything settled this year, Kristen has over 60 in her sixth grade band.
And what was it maybe 5 years ago?
I'm not actually sure. Okay. Pre-COVID, I would have to ask Amy Martin that question. Yeah. No, it wasn't that.
Wasn't that.
Yeah.
And so what are we actually anticipating this coming year? Because the numbers are huge.
So percussion and winds have been separated out now in the two different classes. And right now we're sitting at 85 between those two classes for the marching band element.
Yeah. At the high school.
At the high school. Just the high school. I really predict it's going to top 100 quite easily, if not more.
And that's big.
And I only have 10 seniors. So if you lose the normal attrition rate, you know, you lose a couple because people choose to do different electives or whatever the reason is. So we lose 10 plus maybe five more, and I get 30, 40 more.
Well, and I mean, a long, long time ago when I was in high school, our high school had 1,500 kids, and our band was 120. So this is a high school of 900, maybe a little bit more than 900, but with over 100 in music, which is going to be massive. And that doesn't include dance, doesn't include theater, doesn't include any of the other performing arts that may be there. And it also doesn't include the visual arts that it'll be able to house as well. So let's talk a little bit more about the interior. So we know the size, 800, give or take. The stage, that's a number that shocked me. I didn't realize it was seven times the size of the Crescent Elk stage.
I'm shocked, too.
It'll be a good stage.
It'll be a good stage. What else should folks expect from the inside?
There's no bad seat. No bad seat in the entire theater. So though. There's a slant to the seats, just like Crescent Elk, but more pronounced, especially at the back. And the seats, like the new seats at Crescent Elk, will be three different widths, which staggers the view for every single row, so you don't get stuck behind somebody who's 5'2", doesn't get stuck right behind someone who's 6'4", and they can't see the stage. So
the
wider
seats
to the stage
me.
Are excellence.
Wider seats for me. Well, so, and... kind of what is that color scheme? Because, you know, when Crescent Elk was redone, it had been 100-year-old chairs and white walls with some peeling paint. And now that it's redone, people walked in there the first time and went, oh my gosh, this is phenomenal. What's the inside of this going to look like? And this is a teaser because eventually we'll have pictures, but.
Wood. So dark colored seats and wood on both sides. It's just gorgeous.
Really evocative, I think, of redwoods.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, working with PBK, they've taken a lot of influences from Del Norte County, mountain ranges, redwood trees, and really tied that into this building. So even just the wall surfaces inside aren't just straight up and down. They're kind of a mountain-esque, you know, wood feature in there. Even some of the features when you walk up, like Nick said, when, you know, that show starts when you enter the parking lot. And some of the paneling outside is very simulating of sunlight coming through tree branches. I mean, they really have dialed in the natural aspect of Del Norte County.
Well, and huge windows that will be facing Washington. I mean, Washington, it's really going to be a showplace when you're driving down the street. And really, and here again, we're back outside, not inside necessarily, but when you pull up there, that it's going to add a whole different look and feel to getting onto that campus, but to going to a football game, a baseball game, a softball game, whatever it is, it's going to feel like you're really somewhere, not parking in a dirt field.
Gravel parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, and on the inside too, and I was really, it's really interesting because a lot of the rock that they're talking about is kind of the unfinished rough masonry that's going to go on there. And for the outside, they were talking about just the different shadows and how the way that they place those are going to do different patterns that kind of give that mountainous kind of feel. And on the inside, we've got those same sort of rock walls that follow inside. Now, Nick, one of the questions, and remind me here, you guys jump in too, Josh and Dan. We had, in some of the pictures that people first saw, there was like a big atrium with a big concession stand and all that. What will people see when they first walk in that door?
The concession and the ticket booth will still be there. We just to keep everything within the frame during the design process, we reduced the size of the lobby just a little bit, but still, it'll be enough to hold events in, weddings, smaller conferences, small performances, and so forth. It has the facility to put between up to 150 people at tables.
Yeah.
In the lobby, and the
it'll be one of the bigger venues, and even the lobby will be one of the bigger venues in the county for use, right?
Yes, and good number of restrooms. It's almost comical how much time we spent talking about restrooms.
There were a lot of meetings about restrooms.
More than any other part of designing the center is getting the restrooms right, and that is a big deal. So there will be a conference room upstairs with a separate conference room upstairs that allows us to have meetings, and program director, facilities manager, executive director of the Partnership for the Performing Arts.
Yeah. Elevator that goes all the way to the top.
Yes, yes. Leave your pogo stick at home. Use the elevator.
Oh, no. I was just saying, even that conference room, I mean, that becomes, even from the outside, a very visual, like, piece that it's very pleasant to look at. I mean, seeing the renderings that we saw that are more realistic than what we've had on the poster boards down in the boardroom. I mean, it's come a long way.
Well, no, and I think the interesting thing is, and Nick, you were just hitting on it too, it's, well, and Dan, you said it, it's not just about band, right? Because there's also dance. There is the ability to utilize the lobby for other events, whether those are receptions or weddings, or I was talking to someone about doing basically larger regional professional development here for outside agencies. And Josh, it's going to all be wired for everything in the world, right? I mean, it's going to have internet, and we're even looking at putting backup generators on it and the whole nine yards.
Yep.
But I think the big thing that we all saw too was during the fires. So when this thing is sitting out there and we have another local disaster, it also becomes the single largest civic center, the largest place for people in our community to go and have a seat and get updates.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's important because again, what we saw was we saw people go to the high school anyway. You know, that's a focal point. I mean, Dan, how many?
Oh, so many people. I mean, access to internet,
yeah.
Access to power, access to water,
right.
All that. I mean, that was a big one.
Yeah, well, it was water. Huge, right? And they were, who knew?
Yeah.
but we don't really have any place. Everybody was going and standing at the fairgrounds. It was great that the fairgrounds allowed that, but it was also the Red Cross shelter. It was also the staging area for all the fire departments and brigades that were out here helping.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to be able to have a meeting center where you could have 800 people all hear the information at the same time and to be able to gather and have all those things, power, water, bathrooms. I mean, that'll be a big positive impact on the community and those emergency events.
Yeah, the acoustics and the sound reinforcement actually allow you to understand the speaker.
Right.
Yeah. Like the gym.
that would be good. Well, and live streaming, because we do all of our live streaming.
I don't know if you were going to say this, but we didn't talk about the back of house either.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Because Crescent Elk, everyone's been to Crescent Elk. It's basically a box. There is no atrium.
The back of house is the NPR.
There's no dressing rooms. There's no extra. You have the hall. You do have the light booth, the old light booth upstairs, but no one uses anymore because the light booth is now inside the hall. But the new facility has an impressive back of the house too. I mean, IT room. I mean, help me out. There's like 13 rooms back there.
Two dressing rooms, green room. Yeah. I think two separate bathrooms.
Additional storage area.
Storage.
More storage.
Mechanical
more storage.
Rooms. There's a ton of storage built into this place as well.
A lot went into that. So many people were on those committees to make sure all those elements were being added in, and then we modified, shuffled, made it better, and had those discussions for everything in this facility.
And so it's more than an auditorium. It literally is designed for performing arts and can be used for all these other things too.
Yeah, and I think professionals from out of the area would come in here and do a concert without hesitating. I know a few pass up on Crescent Elk because of the limitations.
Right.
So.
In a community where so many people cannot afford to go to the world to see performances, the opportunity to be able to give the gift to the community to bring those groups here. And with Crescent Elk, not enough seats to sell enough tickets to even to begin to think that we could pay for a nationally or internationally famous group with the 800 seats that we will have at the Performing Arts Center. That all of that changes.
Yeah. Musicals, you know, full-on musicals can come here.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just saw Six, the musical, the one about King Henry VIII and six wives. It was incredible. This stage could hold that.
Yeah.
It could.
Well,
Maybe not Phantom of the Opera, but
well, I was traveling around the holidays, and they were doing a tour up the Nutcracker was doing a tour up the coast. I mean, it opens it up for so many cool things, right? So believe it or not, we are almost out of time. So let's talk a little bit about timeline, because folks are going, this is great. We've heard about this for a while. We were talking at the very beginning about, you know, 2022, the agreement was made. The first infusion of dollars came in. Josh, when is the actual, we'll say, the design phase over?
So the design phase, we're getting ready to wrap up about the middle of March. So I think we have three more meetings, and then we'll have the final design phase. And then from there, I think you kind of maybe had a better timeline understanding than I had. But
well, Nick and I just went over yesterday, which is the only reason I have a little bit more info. But I think if I remember our dates right, basically by the end of October, we should have most of the documentation, the blueprints, the plans ready to go to the Department of State Architecture, which everything has to run through them. They're going to sit on it for about 6 months. And then, so you've got November, December, January, February, March, April-ish. And around April, they're going to come back to PBK, who's our architect. They're going to come back to you, Josh, and to the team. And they're going to say, we've got some other questions. There'll be about a month or two in there that those questions will be answered. DSA will go back and take another look at those finalized plans. And then we should have final DSA approval. I think that the document I saw, if everything goes great, by July 7th of 2025, which is just a year from this July, we should have all the paperwork done, all the documentation done, And then we'll just be doing the final paperwork to get it ready to go out for bid in January of 26 and to stick a shovel in the dirt shortly thereafter.
Yes. So that's an exciting moment.
Yes, it is. But we still have a little way to go. So we've had some great partners. We've had some great folks step in and say, yes, I will support it. I will support it. If folks are interested in donating or gifting or even putting endowments towards a program like this, how can they do that, Nick?
So the website for the Partnership for the Performing Arts is www.ppadelnort.org. ppadelnort.org. And donations can be made online. So if you have a house you don't need, whatever it happens to be, we appreciate any and all amounts. And my phone number is public. If anyone has questions about the center and the project, 805-331-9194. That's 805-331-9194.
And just to kind of clarify for folks, because I get this question from time to time too, the building will be a district building. It's a design bid build by the district, but PPA, the community, and other donors are raising the funds to build the building. It will be a building that is for student use first, community use second, and then commercial use third. So Nick and the Performing Arts, the Associate Performing Partnership for the Performing Arts, will are going to be running the scheduling of that facility, are going to be doing the basically the all the background work, right?
Yes, facility management, program director.
And all of that funded through PPA. And the different organizations that are a part or affiliated with that. And then I think it's one of the most unique partnerships, public, private, nonprofit, that's happened in at least Northern California. So I think there's a lot to be said for it. And I think the last final kudo that I want to give to the three of you and the rest of the design team, PBK and everybody else who sat around the table now for month after month, is the Coalition for Adequate School Housing, an organization that was formed in 1978 to address the lack of school facilities, has an annual conference. And this year, they're recognizing the design work that this team has done on the Performing Arts Center. And on March 1st, Josh and I will be joining Nick down in Sacramento, where CASH, again, the Coalition for Adequate School Housing, will be recognizing this project as a design in progress project for a statewide award. So it's so nice that the state of California, even at this early stage before everything is completed, is saying this is one to watch. So
yes, that's
great
a,
job.
That's a feather in all of our hats. And looking back to the 60s when I was performing in the gym here and we were grumbling and grousing about why are we here, and then here we are 60 plus years later almost, and why are we still here? We can do this.
Yep.
And we deserve it. And the kids deserve it.
Kids deserve it.
Absolutely.
So any last words from any of you?
I just think it's an awesome project. I mean, I have a kid in band. Dan is his teacher. He's in percussion. And I'm not sure this building will get finished before he gets a chance to play in it. But if he continues, that'd be awesome for him to be able to come back and be able to play in that building. I think it'll be a big impact, not only for our community, but, you know, you have Brookings to the north that would easily be able to come and see shows or have shows there themselves. Even.
Right.
So I think it'll be a big cultural impact on this community.
An alumni band, Josh.
Yeah.
That's
right?
What you need, alumni
That's what
band.
He needs.
Yeah. And the commercial aspect of bringing groups in will benefit, be a definite, clear benefit to the hospitality industry.
Yep. Local
in
economy.
The city and
yep.
the county.
And, so, Nick, and I know I said we were out of time, but let's keep talking for a couple minutes. So in the prospectus that was done, what do you recall right off the top of your head what that amount was, that that potential benefit to the community?
So University of California, Davis did a tourism and economic impact report. And conservatively, the center up and running will pump $1.9 million back into the local economy.
Annually.
Yeah, annually, yes.
And that's a conservative amount, given what we know right now.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Because I think this really has the potential of turning this into a bigger destination spot.
Yes, this is the next Carmel.
This is the next Carmel.
Well, especially with the weather we have here. I mean, some of these concerts can happen in the wintertime when a lot of these businesses are a lot slower. You know, your restaurants and hotels. They don't shut down, but I mean, obviously they're not as full in those months. If we could have concerts during those times, that would be a tremendous impact to them.
Yeah.
Yes. A literal lifeline.
No, I'm just thrilled to be part of this. I'm just on the back scenes, and I can't wait to have those students on that stage. The first performance is going to be magical.
Oh, it will be.
Yep.
Well, so, gentlemen, thank you guys for giving up a part of your day and coming in and talking about this. I think it's pretty exciting stuff, and again, went over the timeline. Hopefully, we'll be able to show the public some of these images of the building that you've helped design over the past few months sooner rather than later. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deep bows.